How are you? Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment Podcast with me, Gary Fox. Today, it's mentor moment time. Every weekend, I bring you 10 minutes of our most impactful and insightful episodes. You get a brand new mentor each week. This week, it's Ian Brown, the Managing Director of NDRC here in Dublin. He sees more startups per year than probably anyone in Ireland. And he gives us an insight into how do you truly solve the customer's problem? And the most important thing of all, turning ideas into reality. Here's my chat with Ian. First, quick thank you to my partners.
Are you an early stage founder solving problems in the food supply chain? The Green Man Group sees the value in your work and has launched the Growing Further Awards to back your vision. These awards are designed to promote startups that are driving sustainability and innovation in key areas of the food supply chain, including production, distribution and retail, built environment, and customer engagement. Enter at growingfurther.io for a shot at a share of the €100,000 cash prize and the chance to pitch your company to a crowd of industry leaders. Don't miss out. The deadline for entries is October 4th, with final judging and the awards set for January 2025. Learn more and apply at growingfurther.io.
I've been recording the pod in Iconic Offices for almost 2 years, and they've supported me a lot, and they're going to support you too. They offer everything from co-working to office spaces to meeting rooms to spaces by the day. Try them for free so you can get a free co-working space or a free office for the day. Simply go to the link in the bio and enter Gary24. Thanks, Iconic Offices.
You said something really interesting there about creating value. I think people mix that up so much, right? They start by, oh, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. But they forget about creating value for the customer. And that was really interesting how you'd first of all solve the problem for yourself, which is the classic founder problem. Going, yep. Oh, wouldn't it be cool if, but your customer is like, no, that's not the problem at all. So I think there's a lot of lessons there for founders that before you start building out all the bells and whistles, you just go sit with your customer. And literally, even if it's just sitting there watching them. Mm-hmm. So especially if it's not an area you're familiar with, a lot of founders build in kind of like we talked about over lunch, what's cool, new hot space now, you know, everything AI now, you know, they forget that like there's an end user. What is that end user doing? What's their psychology? What's their day? What's their pain points? Like without them, no real good companies get built. And I thought it was really interesting that it was your dad. We often think, oh, this is big strategy and we have this big idea. Oh, and your brain is literally on fire, smoke coming out of your ears trying to think of the big strategy. When in essence, it nearly always is, well, just start with this one small thing.
Yeah.
This tiny thing and not having an ego to feel, oh, it's just beneath us. Like, you know, it's just, you know, it's not worth doing. It's not worth doing. You might have a pot to piss in and people turn down work because it's not worth doing. But the momentum, I'm a big, big believer in momentum. I talk about it on nearly every episode. Without that momentum, you're not getting to that end goal.
Ideas are just ideas until you do something about them, right? Like, and they will just forever be like that. So like getting going is super important. It doesn't matter what it is. But then also the ability to let go quickly helps a lot, right? Because then you can start a bunch of things as long as you're comfortable with killing a lot of things. And that's the attitude I took to that stuff anyway.
What was your experimental process then? So you'd start, test it, kill it. We're talking through that little stage. Yeah, how did you run that?
It probably wasn't so process driven at that point. Like it wasn't like we didn't do any rigorous testing or data or anything like that. It was more like kind of we'd start to build something and then think about, well, actually, this is now going to be like a 3-month build if we want to build this big thing out. And like, we let's do some research here and do that stuff. So like there was a method to it, but there wasn't like it wasn't a data driven process, right? Yeah. It was very much intuitive. And it was like, for me, having that co-founder with me was super important, right? I would be a terrible solo founder. There's some very good ones, right? But I'd be a terrible solo founder, right? I would live in my own head and not get anything done. I'd just keep having ideas and not do anything, right? So having that
I hear you.
Great. So having that was great. And then like we had a very good relationship, like very open and like some might say brutally honest relationship sometimes, which was fun.
Talk to me about that, because feedback is very important. Being able to give it and take it. How did you develop that relationship?
I mean, we'd worked together on some things before, so kind of we knew each other, we knew what we were like, and we went into that comfortable with the fact that we could make it work, right? So it was like kind of, we were quite, you know, we were quite complimentary, let's just say. But both of us were pretty direct and pretty honest with each other. And so it was fine. And we actually liked to socialize with each other as well. You know, that was, and that wasn't a necessity for me, but like spending time with each other outside of normal working hours was cool as well, because, well, we never really stopped working and talking and thinking, but like it's kind of, it meant that it was quite a pretty real relationship for me. But also then it got to the end of that, and Neil, my co-founder, was like, he was about 10 years older than me at the time, probably still is. But at the end, we're coming towards the end of it and do the acquisition, and then it was very clear that we wouldn't do another business together, and not through any badness or any breakdown of relationship. It was just like afterwards we lived different things that we want to do, and that was totally cool as well. So it was
life goes in circles. The thing is, as you get older, you realize there's seasons to everything.
Yeah,
there's a season to every stage of your life, and that's fine, you know. And again, I think it's the founder mentality. You don't pine for the summer just gone.
No,
you just look ahead and go, right, yeah, okay, what's the next season?
And I just want to pick up on something else you said as well about that kind of talking to customers thing, because I think it's important, is that I would have short-circuited 6, maybe 8, 10 months of work by doing that customer conversation piece at the start. There's no playbook for doing this. Like, you can't build a business through a playbook. You can't just, you know, ABC, got to go talk to this many customers and do this and get the feedback. It doesn't work like that. But you need to talk to enough of them to get enough signal before you get to noise. So it's like, how many people do you talk to at the start? First of all, you got to find the right people. So I first of all found the wrong people. So you got, first thing is find the right people. So the people who are actually experiencing the problem that you're thinking about. And then you got to talk to a sample set of them. And I don't think it has to be a huge sample set. Some people will tell you, go talk to 50, 60, 70 people and come back to me and tell me what you've done. I think it's more in the region of 8 to 12. Like, you need to speak to that number of people. That'll give you enough. And it has to be, if you can make it a sort of fairly wide variety of them, and don't be directly connected to them as well, helps sometimes. But that sort of sample size is all you need to give you enough signal to take a step, right? Otherwise, you spend so long in conversations that you just get lost.
Why do people not do this? Because this seems to be the major downfall you see with most startups. They do not get in front of their customers early enough. And similarly, pattern recognition, from chatted to hundreds of founders now, the ones that really thrive just get out there so early. We talked about Owen from Tynes there over lunch. 8 weeks he was at market.
Yep.
He was in with his customers. He was testing. Mm-hmm. Why do people not do that? Because it seems like the obvious hack. But again, you see the mistake made over and over and over.
Yeah, I think people are not very good at having conversations with potential customers. And there is a way, it's quite a learned skill. Like, I was really bad at doing it at the start, you know, and then I got better and better at it. And you can, you know, there's some great resources out to read, and that is true. And everyone recommends a book called The Mum Test, which is actually a great book about, like, how to have a simple customer conversation. But until you actually have like 2 or 3 or 4 of them, you don't get comfortable with them. And so I think people need to just, you have to just do it. Like, there's no rationale. It's just like, you have to just really make an active effort to go out and speak to people and try as hard as you can to avoid confirmation bias.
Does fear and ego hold people back from talking to customers?
Fear would hold some people back, I think. Ego, not so much. I think some people, well, it depends. I think ego's a different one, but I think fear definitely does. Like,
are they afraid to hear that that's not the solution there?
Yeah, I think that's the fear bit for me. Is like, I'm afraid to think this idea is not that good, and hence my sort of comment about confirmation bias. Is people hear what they want to hear, yeah, and not the truth, and that's why you have to practice this stuff and be very cautious not to use leading questions, and which, you know, it's like the, what's it called, the X Factor, right? You go on to sing there, oh yeah, everyone tells me I'm amazing, yeah, right? And as soon as they sing, it's like, yeah, not so much, right?
Yeah. It's a while. I'm fascinated by human psychology.
Yeah,
like,
okay,
you know, why we do the things we do. Yeah. You know, like, clearly talking to customers is a great plan, and then you see it over and over. Oh no, we didn't really talk to that many. We just thought it'd be a good idea. It's fascinating, I think, because you short circuit, like you said yourself, probably 6 to 12 months of work.
Yeah.
Just by having, you know, 10 to 12 awkward conversations, that will get easier over time. What did you do when you stepped away then? You had the money in your back pocket. What was the next plan? Or did you have a plan?
No, I had no plan whatsoever. I was bored for a little while. I did an MBA for a year, which was interesting.
When was this?
Just after, well, 5 years ago, whenever it was.
Well, most people buy a Porsche and they have a midlife crisis. You didn't
get the MBA. Yeah, it's weird. I got actually in kind of the you know, startup world, like, right, you know, it's like, it's kind of seen as a pretty negative thing, like, if you've got that. So I don't tell too many people about it, and it turns out I've just told everyone about it right now. So thanks.
A friend of mine went back and did one, and I said, don't do that. And then she went back and she's like, yeah, it's going brilliant. And I was like, I think I might have been wrong. I think you were probably right to do it. And now she's thriving at it and she absolutely loves it. But it's funny. Like,
it helped me do some things, actually. So, like, most of what it was me, you know, arguing with the lecturers for a year, because it's, you know, I just come outside of selling the business. And like day one in the MBA, and it's like, here's what we're going to be doing. Excuse me. I have a question. It's like, where's the module on sales? No, nothing about sales there. So I spent a lot of time battling with the theory view practice of this stuff and having arguments, but I actually enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed doing it. Helped with critical thinking a little bit, like kind of getting back to that level of stuff and doing some
probably give you the space you need, because I've talked to my friend about it, and she's like, it's just give me the space to step back and look at other people's businesses and look at models and look at going, well, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I think when you're so close to it and when you're in the industry for a long time, it can be... You can lose sight of it. You can lose sight of external, what's really happening in the world.
If you enjoyed that mentor moment with Ian, go back and listen to the full episode. It is episode 264. I'll see you back here in a couple of days for a brand new episode.